This is the Marketing Hero Podcast by ClearPivot, turning marketers into heroes.
Welcome to the Marketing Hero Podcast. Did you know that we also have a newsletter? That's right, you can join today at clearpivot.com/newsletter to get monthly emails with our best tips on topics like effective lead generation, creating content that attracts and connects with your prospects, and how to get started with inbound marketing. Sign up for the Marketing Hero newsletter at clearpivot.com/newsletter for SaaS marketing insights that will move your metrics. Welcome to another session with ClearPivot founder Chris Strom. On this episode, we're diving into an important question for anyone interested in understanding the true pathways of their best customers. Join me, Maya Morgan Wells, as I talk with Chris Strom in detail about the differences between web analytics and self-reported attribution. Chris Strom, welcome back to the show.
Good to be talking with you again, Maya.
Well, listen, before we dive in, I want to set the context just a little bit because we're talking here about two different ways to track how someone came into your marketing funnel, essentially, right? So we've got web analytics, like probably the most applicable thing that we would pick out of web analytics here would be source or where that person came from. But that only tells a particular part of the story. And from what I've been hearing from you, the way people self-report their pathway might be different in many ways. So I guess I'm wondering, can you explain those two types of data for us, set the context a bit? And then also, I'd like to know, why are you interested in this question right now? How did this come back up onto your radar in the last couple months?
Definitely. So self-reported attribution is basically just a fancy way of asking people how they heard about you when they come, they fill out your form or they call in by phone, asking them how you heard about them and recording their answer. In the past, a lot of companies used to do it. Probably with the advent of Google Analytics specifically, when that came out, they introduced the original source tracking of the website visitors. And that's things like tracking whether someone came in from organic search or paid search, or social media or email, or if they couldn't tell, they would just say direct traffic. And that's the web analytics that started getting reported. So Google Analytics started doing that first, probably. We do a lot with HubSpot Analytics where it tracks similar sources as well. And, for years and years, we actually were telling people, you know, web analytics is superior to the self-reported attribution of asking people because, people are never going to remember correctly and they'll probably just make something up. And so you should use the technology of web analytics instead. That was basically what we told people for a long time. And so that's kind of the context, but I was getting a little frustrated with the limitations of web analytics themselves too. And, having worked in web analytics for quite a long time, I knew a lot of their strengths, but also a lot of their weaknesses too. So over the summer this year, especially, I started seeing other people I know and follow start getting kind of a second interest in going back to the self-reported attribution where you just ask people how they heard about you, and they started to share a lot of the insights that they were seeing. And they found it was, in a lot of ways, it gave more accurate information. And so that really got my attention. And so that's what caused me to circle back a few months ago. And I started doing some experiments in adding in self-reported attribution and comparing it against the web analytics.
So I'd love to get into what differences you've seen and what kind of details we can learn from that process. I guess first, before we dive into that, you mentioned limitations of web analytics. So I know you are very, very well versed in web analytics. What are some of the limitations that you started to recognize with that type of data?
There's a couple of big limitations. You know, they can be really great. They can provide a lot of pretty granular data a lot of times, especially when it comes to like paid ads, especially like Google ads or social media ads. But there's some big weaknesses too. One big weakness is the channel called direct traffic. There's just way too much of it. You know, direct traffic is basically where they couldn't detect where the person came from. There was no source data that came through in the visit session. And so the historical answer we would say is, oh, well, if someone types your domain directly into their browser and goes directly to your site, that's what the direct traffic is. And that certainly would be direct traffic, but technically what direct traffic is traffic where the web analytics just couldn't tell where they came from for one reason or another. Sometimes it might be they typed it in. Sometimes it might be maybe they were searching for you and maybe like Google Chrome auto-completed it. But it certainly can't account for all of it. I'm looking at the analytics of one of our clients here. Over the last 2 years, they had 213,000 website sessions, and 30% of those got logged as direct traffic. So that's about...
Wow, that's quite a lot. Yeah, that seems like quite a lot.
Yeah, it's like 70,000 sessions reported as direct traffic. And, you know, there's no way on earth there's 70,000 people typing this company's domain directly into their browser over the last 2 years. Direct traffic is basically just it couldn't tell. And it could be for a variety of reasons. Some specific reasons might be someone, you know, had an email that they forwarded to someone else, and then that person came from the email and the tracking links got broken in there, or maybe it was from a Slack message or some other direct message that they clicked from, or, you know, maybe there was a VPN in the middle, or browser cookie blocking, or things like that. There's a variety of ways where a variety of things where it just breaks the tracking. And so pretty consistently across all of the clients we work with, we're seeing, you know, 29, 33, 35% of the traffic just being reported as direct traffic kind of across the board. So a third of the traffic pretty consistently just there's no identifiable source tracking. So that's one big limitation. It doesn't work about 30% of the time. Another limitation is organic search over reports, because it doesn't account for organic search over reports, and then things like social media under report. Because in web analytics, if someone clicks to your site from a social media profile, directly from the profile, it'll show up as social media. But a lot of times what happens is people follow you on social media and they just, you know, consume your content on the social media channel for a long time. And then one day when they have a need of your service, they think, oh, I need this thing. Who does that? And they remember you from social media. And then they just Google search you by name. And so the web analytics will show that as organic search, but it's actually... it was technically an organic search, but they're just searching for your name because they originally found you or followed you on social media. And so organic search over reports, social media under reports, also word of mouth is not detectable at all. You know, someone's friend tells them about the company, so they Google search the company name and it shows up as organic search, but it is actually word of mouth. Or another big one is foot traffic. You know, they live nearby or they were driving by and they saw signage or they saw the building location and they said, oh, that looks interesting. And then they Google search the name. And So it shows up, that's another case where it shows up as organic search, but it was actually from foot traffic. And then one other example too is email marketing. One of our clients recently did a VIP day for their customers, where they invited all their customers in for an in-person event. They emailed it out to their mailing list. And a lot of people, it was a big success. A lot of people invited their friends and they got a lot of registrations. They got, the day they sent out the email, they got 65 signups for it.
Wow.
And so if you look at the web analytics, it shows 445 website sessions from the email. So 445 cases of people clicking the link in the email and coming to the site. But in terms of new contacts, it only showed one new contact from email. And that's because, you know, people on the email list are already contacts.
Mm-hmm.
But meantime, you know, 62 out of the 65 new people came in the same day from direct traffic and from organic search. And it was clearly because of the email, because it's that spike shows up the exact same day the email was sent. And so that pretty much has to be word of mouth. So we sent the email to the existing contacts sign up, then they tell their friends about it. And then their friends Google search the name, or they just go to the website directly and register themselves. But the web analytics can't track that dynamic at all.
Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a little bit of educated conjecture going on there, just assuming, okay, this makes sense if it happened this way. Does self-reporting help to close that gap a little bit? Where does self-reporting come in and understanding those differences?
Yeah, self-reporting helps to close that gap. So, you know, say in the case of the VIP day event with the email announcement, one of the existing contacts gets the email. Maybe it's, you know, invite a friend and get, you know, 10% off or something like that. So they tell three of their friends about it. And then those three friends, maybe they Google search the name and come in. And so the web analytics says they came in from Google search, but if you ask them, they'll say, you know, oh, my friend Patricia told us about this, you know, or, oh yeah, I heard about it from another friend, or so-and-so forwarded it to me. And so in that case, by just asking them, you actually get the real source of how they found you.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you have to have in place in order for people to effectively tell you how they found you? What's the setup process like for that self-reporting?
So there's basically two steps, maybe you could say three steps. The first step is, first off, just asking them. And we do that on the web forms by just using a plain text field where they can type in anything. And we make it a required field, not for everything, but for sales qualified leads only. We make it a required field. So if someone's just signing up for a newsletter or something, we don't require, how did you hear about us? But if they're, you know, requesting a consult or booking a meeting or something like that, in those cases, we make it a required field. So it's required, so they have to fill it out. And it's also, we use plain text rather than a dropdown so that we're not biasing the answers in any way.
Mm-hmm.
We're not influencing their answer by the options available, or just influencing them by having them more likely to just choose whatever the first option is. So it's plain text so they can put in whatever they want. So some of the things people will type in are, I'm looking at some examples here. They'll type a friend, my mom used to work there, live nearby, so-and-so referred me, someone I met, Facebook, email, friend, Google, online. So these are some of the real things that people are filling in. So that's the first step, is logging their answers just in a free form field. And then the second step is you do need to then standardize it a little bit. So we'll look at their answers that they give, and then we'll make a standardized drop-down list of the most common reasons. And then we'll then look at their freeform answers and then start bucketing them into standardized options. So some of the standardized options include search engine, word of mouth, foot traffic, social media, existing or former customer, sometimes print advertising if they're doing that. But those are some of the main ones that we kind of bucket it all down into.
And Chris, is that standardization process manual always?
We started out doing it manually, but we've also been setting up some workflows in HubSpot to help us automate it. So we've set up a couple of like keyword-based workflows on contact properties. So if the How'd You Hear About Us freeform field contains terms like Google search or research, tag the drop-down field as search engine. If the freeform field has things like friend, sister, mom, family, then tag them as word of mouth. If the freeform field is Facebook, Instagram, IG, FB, you know, LinkedIn maybe, then tag the drop-down field as social media.
Okay.
So we can automate it a fair amount, and just setting up a couple of keyword-based workflows like that will automate about probably 85% of it. And then we can pretty easily go in and just manually fill in the rest of them.
If somebody wrote in some kind of crazy answer or abbreviation, you just kind of have to do those manually.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they, you know, they get confused and they put what they're looking for in the field or something like that. And then you just mark it as unknown. Or maybe if they fill out the field wrong, you can then look at the web analytics as a fallback. Like some of these, I'm looking at some of them here. You know, sometimes if we don't understand their answer that they filled out, then we just look at the original source. So if they put in something weird in the How Did You Hear About Us field, but the web analytics say organic search, then we'll probably just mark it as search engine in that case.
So you're getting a little bit into how to compare web analytics and self-reported attribution. Do you do much comparison sort of after the fact? So once you've set this up, now you're getting self-reports, you're able to compare that against web analytics in certain ways, which is what you're just telling me. Can you expand on that just a little bit more in terms of what you've discovered in using both of these types of data together and how that's propelling you forward?
Yeah. So I was doing some research and analysis on this. I looked at three different clients of ours and compared the results of the web analytics to the results of the self-reported attribution. And I definitely saw some, I learned like new things on both of them, on all three of them. Some of them we've been working with for a long time, but I discovered, even after all that time, I discovered new things from this that I hadn't seen from, you know, many months of just looking at the web analytics. So for the first example I looked at, this client is a plastic surgery and med spa clinic. And they were one of the first ones we set this up on. And a big learning I found from there was that social media for them was actually twice as effective as we had thought it was.
Wow.
Like literally twice as effective. It was the organic social and paid social together in the web analytics showed up as a very low percentage of the total sales qualified leads they were getting. But when we looked at what people were actually saying, it was more than twice as many. And so that was a big shocker, because they and us had actually concluded that maybe social media actually wasn't really worth the time. And they actually cut their budget on their social media marketing.
Oh, wow.
Pretty substantially as a result. And then as a result of this, I found, oh, wow, maybe we shouldn't have done that. I guess we should circle back and invest more in social media, go back to what we had been investing.
And so did they do that? What's been the result of that conversation shared with that client?
Yeah, we've gotten more serious about social media again, and we're putting more effort and energy and focus into it. We're running more ads on our end. They hired an internal person in their office to shoot footage and produce content in-house as well. Because they're in another location from us, so we can't do that part. So yeah, they have someone in-house making a lot of organic content now, and then we're spending a lot more time on ad campaigns on our end.
Wow, sounds like a huge discovery. I'm gonna have to check back in with you on that and see if it helped the results even more to reinvest in social. What else did you discover? You said you had three examples that you looked at. Was there something as juicy for the next one? That seems like a really great discovery on that social media thing. What else did you find?
Yeah. Two other examples I have here are from two different senior living communities we work with. So the first senior living community, the web analytics were reporting most of their contacts from search engines, organic or paid, and then a fair amount from direct traffic, and then some from offline sources, which is where we just manually add them in. So that's not super helpful. It tells us that the search engine marketing is going well, but doesn't tell us much beyond that. So when we compared that against what they were telling us, we found that word of mouth was actually a pretty significant driver of their sales qualified leads. About eyeballing it here, about 20% of their sales qualified leads were coming from word of mouth, friends or family members or people like that. And then also a significant amount, maybe combined between existing or former customers coming back, as well as foot traffic or people living nearby. Those two combined probably were about another, maybe like 12%. No, probably higher than that, more like 20% of their sales qualified leads coming in. So a lot of word of mouth, foot traffic, and then existing customers returning. And so all three of those categories were invisible to us from the web analytics.
Wow. And so does that relate to what you were saying earlier about maybe over-reporting on direct traffic?
Yeah. If it's saying, you know, since direct traffic is basically people where the web analytics couldn't detect anything, that could be one of the sources.
It's like maybe somebody having heard about it from their sister, and so they type in the name of the community and it comes up as a search, but really it was word of mouth. Was that kind of what you were saying earlier?
Yeah, it might show up as organic search in that case.
Okay.
But even organic search shows up as direct traffic sometimes. But yeah, in either case, whether it shows up as organic search or direct traffic, that shouldn't be how it's attributed.
Right. Because the source is the sister.
Attribution of the source was the sister.
It was not actually
Google.
Wow. Yeah, this is really interesting. So what did you discover about that third example? Now I'm hooked. I want to know what else you found out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the third example was a different senior living community. And this one was even more dramatic. So in their web analytics, between organic search and direct traffic, it reported all of their leads as coming from one of those two sources, 100% from those two, nothing else.
Wow.
So, okay. So that's not super helpful, especially because direct traffic was about like 35% of that. And that's just where you can't see anything. But when we started doing the self-reporting, we found that, in fact, organic or paid search combined was less than half of the actual attribution. So maybe about 40% of their total sales qualified leads were coming from word of mouth specifically. There were almost as many people saying they heard about them through word of mouth as there were people saying they found them through search engines. And then in addition to that, so that was like probably 40%. And then another 20% reported coming from like foot traffic or just seeing their sign as they drove by.
Wow.
So in that case, word of mouth and foot traffic combined were actually bringing in more people than all search engine traffic altogether.
Wow, that's so interesting. And so just even taking that one example, this last one, what kind of adjustments would you make as a demand gen agency or as any type of marketing staff? I mean, what kind of adjustments can we make as marketers when we find out this type of information?
So for the plastic surgery and med spa practice, we talked about, you know, they and us have now redoubled and gone back to more of a focus on social media. And then for the senior living communities here, seeing how word of mouth is such a significant driver of their business, to the point that it's almost half of the total business. Now we're thinking a lot more about customer referral campaigns and customer advocacy campaigns and, you know, still focusing on attracting net new people through SEO and ad campaigns, but also thinking, you know, we probably need to put a significant focus on connecting with the current residents and engaging them for advocacy more and referrals more, and talking through with the client what we can do there as far as engaging and enabling the biggest promoters from their existing residents.
Right. So, Chris, it seems like self-reporting has been a great source of data. Do you feel like web analytics still has a place in what we're doing as marketers? And if so, what is that place and how can we kind of move forward using, you know, either both sources or should we be focusing in on self-reporting only? What would be your opinion on that moving forward?
I think web analytics themselves are still very useful as well. What I've been experimenting with now is you know, doing more of a blended approach almost where we, sometimes the web analytics, you know, don't turn up much, but the self-reporting does. And sometimes the self-reporting doesn't show that much, but the web analytics do. So like sometimes when we ask people how they found them and they just put website or they put online or something like that. In that case, the self-reporting, that doesn't really tell us much. So then we look at the web analytics and we say, oh, okay, paid search. So we'll mark them as search engine or, okay, they just said online or something, but the web analytics says organic search or, you know, Facebook or something. And then we mark it as search engine. And then also for things like search engine ads and Facebook ads specifically, where you're running structured campaigns with UTM tags set up with, you know, your campaign labels and things like that. Web analytics works really well for tracking the details of those paid campaigns. There is value in both, but entirely relying 100% on just one, I found, can lead to blind spots.
Well, Chris, thank you for this really informative discussion about web analytics versus self-reported attribution. I think there's a lot of interesting nuggets we could take away from this conversation. And we appreciate you coming back on to the Marketing Hero podcast. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. This was fun, Maya.
You've been listening to the Marketing Hero podcast by ClearPivot. Be sure to join us next time. For more information, visit www.clearpivot.com.